Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 10th of August, recording at 9:31 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and for a change, it was a day for the bears. First, the Asian stock markets were mostly weaker. Not all of them. Some of them, some of the ASEAN markets were quite steady, although Thailand was clipped for the first time in really quite some time. The European stock markets, were mostly down. The exception was Switzerland, which squeaked out a teensy gain. The Americas were lower. It was a wild day overall, with the Dow being down about 150, 160 points at one stage, and then rallying all the way back to break even, or even briefly a modest gain when the Fed came out and said that it was going to continue with some of its easing policies, and then slipping into small losses, sort of half a percentage point for the Dow, just over that for the S&P, bigger for the NASDAQ, down 1.24%. Long-dated government bonds soared on the Fed news and then pared that back. They were a little bit, that's in the USA, and I'm talking bond prices, they were a little weaker in Europe and the UK. The US dollar was a little firmer in here today, and the precious metals, well, they've kind of been all over the place. It's been a choppy day overall, but closing out quite firm, that was, let's see, we're last at 12:04. Now, did I say the dollar was firmer in here today? That's debatable. It's a little bit, it's mixed, I would say. It had been firmer, and then it eased on the Fed news against some currencies, including the yen. It's down to 85.42 against the yen. Now, industrial metals were down today, although off their lows. As an example, copper had swung in a 336.60 to 327 range, currently 332.25. That's down just over 3 cents. And crude oil was weaker here today, but again off the lows. It's lost at 80.16, and it was almost a dollar lower at one stage. The grain and bean complex is also easier, but rough rice had a firm close up on the day, and sugar, which has seen some profit taking recently, had a firmer day. I think those are the main highlights. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it's still a nervous environment in these ranging markets. Now, ranging markets do often consist of choppy, nervous conditions, because the range means that you're fairly evenly divided between bulls and bears, and maybe a third of the people are bullish and a third of the people are bearish, and the other third are swinging back and forth between those two camps. There's usually a great deal of uncertainty. Sometimes they'll be fairly quiet, other times they'll be a little bit more volatile. They were medium volatile in here today. I mentioned China having one of the bigger moves. I think there were two. First, China has been on a bit of a roll recently. I'm talking about the mainland indices. And there were two bits of data that came out which worried the market. One was that there was some evidence that property prices were still quite firm, and that dampened expectations that China would be backing off its squeeze on the property sector anytime soon. And the other one was that their imports were down a little bit, and people worried about that on the basis of a slowing economy overall. I don't think it's any, and when I think these are statistics du jour, I don't think they're all that critical. I think the technical action that we have seen in China is fairly positive, but I would feel better if it had an update tomorrow rather than following through on what was a downward dynamic here today. Now, overall, China and most other stock markets are overbought in the short term. They've been on a roll really since early July, and the gains have been significant. So some consolidation of those gains has been due for a while, and it looks like that may have commenced today. Now, will that lead to a sharp reaction or something worse? Probably not. It's not impossible, of course, because we have these ranging patterns, and something could spook investors in theory, but probably not. I think overall the action has been sufficiently good so that what we're more likely to see is that the markets that are still range bound just extend those ranges, pull back a little bit and extend them, and the markets, of which there are a fair number, that had broken upwards from those from their big sideways trading ranges, may and run to the upside, may see a little bit more consolidation in here. But again, this remains a period of seasonal uncertainty very often, and there are plenty of reasons to keep people let's say apprehensive about what actually lies out there. But the apprehension varies considerably depending on which part of the globe we're talking about. The apprehension in the Asian regions and the commodity-producing South American economies, for instance, in the subcontinent, that concerns inflation and how much further interest rates may have to go up and when inflation will begin to subside, if it is going to subside anytime soon. Whereas in the West, the concern has been the deflationary forecasts and fears. Although yesterday I spent a fair amount of time in the audio talking about the possibility of stagflation, I also wrote about it, and Owen comments on that again in here today, and he's also mentioned it previously in audios. So that just means we get against a background of slow growth. There is a risk that we see not wage inflation, but commodity price inflation, and that's something that Fuller Money has mentioned as a risk all along. We long ago, almost a decade ago, identified commodities as one of our secular themes following their historic underperformance, and they're due for a number, well, they've had a decade of historic outperformance. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they saw a good many more years of a general outperformance overall. The demand for them, of course, is led by the big population progressing economies, which are voracious consumers of commodities, and everybody else has got to eat as well, and they also consume energy, and some of the developed economies need infrastructure development, so there's plenty of demand for all of these resources. That's why it's such an important theme at Fuller Money generally. Now, what else to mention in here? In terms of currencies, my feeling is that the US dollar is a little bit oversold in the short term, but that doesn't mean that it has to do much on the upside overall. I think people are now, well, having regarded the dollar as a haven currency during the last major scare in Western stock markets, that was in May, beg your pardon, in June, that they have reassessed. They're looking at the soft U.S. economy and the Fed's comments that it's weaker than they had originally forecast, and they're reassessing on the dollar. And they see the additional QE, quantitative easing, and the money printing that inevitably goes along with that, and statements that interest rates are going to stay low really for quite some time. Now, that's not exactly a bull story for the US dollar. It's a far better story for the hard money currency, gold, which, as I said, is back above the $1,200 level. So I think the stronger currencies overall are likely to be the same ones that we've seen before. They're mainly resources currencies, and they're Asian currencies. But of course, none of these countries want to have an overly strong currency. Some of them need weaker currencies more than others. I maintain that Japan needs a weaker currency, although when the yen is still steady, people, I find commentators, and I followed a lot of them in terms of what they've said about the yen, kind of stand on their head to justify reasons why Japan doesn't need to do anything about its currency. But, well, hey, are they different? In terms of policies, yes, because just about every other country around the globe of any consequence that's had a strong currency has, through both jawboning and printing, moved decisively to weaken that currency, and their export competitiveness has benefited as a consequence, as you know, with Germany, for instance. And the fact that the dollar is now soft rather than a haven is good for the USA's multinational companies overall. So, I think that the most we're likely to see with the greenback is a little bit of a short covering rally, but I can't see really too much beyond that. Now, what about these industrial metals? Well, they've been highly correlated with stock markets, although they showed relative strength a couple of months ago by bottoming a little earlier than many of the stock markets following that correction. And I think the factors that are behind the firmness in commodity prices, well, there are several. There's the soft U.S. dollar, generally. That's been important. There are the crop problems, notably for wheat, that have helped to push prices higher. And there are question marks about the crops in the U.S. For corn and perhaps also and also soybeans and oats. So there have been crop concerns, and agricultural commodities are one area where the fundamentals really can change very, very quickly. If you get hit with a major drought, for instance, and that has been the problem for wheat, then prices can spike, and we saw them double in a hurry before the recent pullback. So, crop disappointments, but there is the global economic recovery led by those huge population Asian and subcontinent countries. That's certainly a factor that is fueling demand for commodities. And then the producers of these commodities have not been breaking records in increasing production overall. They too were shaken by the 2008 meltdown, not surprisingly. So they're a little bit more cautious here this time around, and there were some funding or financing problems as well in terms of mine expansion, even if they were willing to consider expanding mines. And then on top of that, you get speculation because interest rates remain low, and that's usually a favorable environment for commodities overall. So that's pretty much the picture here on the 10th of August. Don't be surprised if we see a little bit more of a pause in stock markets, but I don't think we're going to see another one of those big scary downdrafts. Hope not, at any rate. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.